Welcome to Women Today, a magazine program designed to encourage and equip women today for a better tomorrow together. Hi there, my name is Larice Furie and I serve as a presenter at Good News Community Radio in KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa. I believe that we do life and faith better together. So today, I'm excited to introduce Nika September to share her testimony of surrendering to God's call to full-time ministry. Could you just tell the listeners where you were supposed to be this weekend, why you're not there, and how you ended up here?
Okay. So, yeah, I was supposed to be in Zambia this weekend. Actually, this whole week, I was supposed to go for a conference in Zambia. And just the night before I got to pack my things and, you know, getting ready to go, I couldn't find my passport. So, looked everywhere that I could look for it. And it was not where I placed it. And so, after being very sad for like 2 days and, you know, I was preparing to go away for the week, I really prayed and asked God, okay, I still want to use this week to go somewhere, so you should show me. And I spoke to a friend that's actually here at the mission. And eventually, yeah, it just happened that I came to Durban on Tuesday. And yeah, I'm here for the week now.
And we've really appreciated your presence. And I feel like we need to add that you didn't tell your parents when you came. Like, she just up and left. So please pray for Nika's parents, because
no, they actually know about it now.
Okay, at least you've eventually told them.
Yes. Yeah, so it was a very like, okay, God, I'm going. You know, everything. So I'm here.
So where are you currently working? And how did you get involved there?
So I'm currently serving. I wouldn't call it working. I'm serving with an organization called OM, which stands for Operation Mobilization. And I knew about this missions organization for years, actually since growing up, because my cousin has been part of the organization in Cape Town, as he's also a missionary. So I always heard about OM. And after high school, I was going to join, when that was 2015. Yeah, I was going to join OM, but the time wasn't right. I actually told my mom, like, Mom, I'm going to go and do missions with OM. But my mom actually told me no. She was like, it's not the right time. Yeah, I gave my heart to God when I was 15, and I always try to, like, I served God fully, I would say. I made the commitment when I was 15. So I always tried to live according to the word of God. So when I was 18 and I told my mom I want to go into missions, I trusted her judgment as well, because the Bible says we should honor our mothers and fathers. And I knew that she wouldn't say no out of being selfish. And at the time, we went through a lot as a family. We just moved over a year into Pretoria, and we were renting, and we were just going through a lot financially. So I got where she was coming from. Like, we are getting evicted out of our flat. Like, it was just a lot financially. So my mom was like, not now. You're not going to do missions, my child. Like, no. I was like, okay. I took it. Eventually, I was working at a school for 4 years. In Pretoria West, and I was working as an administrator. So remember, when I was 18, I was trying to do missions. Because of my relationship with Jesus, I felt that I want to tell others about Jesus. I didn't really understand the whole concept about missions, to be honest, when I was 18. But for me, it was just, I want to be part of this group that goes out and tells people about Jesus. That was just like the fulfillment. That was when I was 18. So I didn't understand a lot. It's just a girl in love with Jesus and wants to tell others, right? And so So fast forward to 2019, I worked for 4 years at the school, and I was doing admin. And while I was working at the school, I was still doing ministry, still serving in church and working. But I always felt like there was something missing, and I didn't really know what it was. So still have the joy of the Lord, still feeling God's presence, you know, still working, being able to be blessing to others also, but still feeling that something is missing. And at the beginning of last year, 2022, it was a new year again. And, you know, as the new year approaches, you kind of evaluate where you are. You know, like we have this new year resolution and stuff like that. So New Year's Day, I take the day that the first, I would take it to spend time with God, and just be in God's presence on the first. I don't know what most people do on New Year's Day, but that's what I would do. I'll normally be in Cape Town and just sit at the beach and journal, and it's the new year, you know? Mm. What is God saying? Like, God, that I'm committing this year to you. But last year was different, and last year I was very sad. I was very tired. I was very burnt out. And I was telling God, I don't know what's happening in my life, God. I said, I'm doing all of these things, but something feels missing. And I actually felt very, I felt like I just wanted to be with Jesus. I was like, God, if this is living, then I'd rather just want to be in heaven, because there's really this big void that I can't explain. And it's not like I was like thinking about it in a bad way, like suicidal, like I want to kill myself. No, I was like, God, I want to be with you. I want to experience the fullness of you. But I'm burnt out. I'm doing all these things, but I feel like I'm not listening to what you are asking of me. You know, everybody out there is like, oh, Nika is doing great. She's stable. She got a job. She's a responsible adult, you know, but God, I just felt him knocking and saying, that's not it for you. And so I prayed and I was like, God, please show me what it is. And so going into the new year, I came back to Pretoria to work, and I was seeking God, and God started speaking to me through his word about missions, about laying down your life, picking up your cross. And he reminded me of when I was 18. Remember I told you, 18, I wanted to do missions. And in my mind, I was telling myself, no, I can't be doing missions now. How old was I? I was 25. I'm 25. I need to, I was having this conversation with my mind and God, like with myself, saying, like, I can't just leave my job and do missions. That's silliness. That's crazy. Like, that's irresponsible. I'm 25, right? I could have been permanent in my job. So close to being permanent in my job. I could get myself a flat, you know, get myself a car. What I'm thinking is irresponsible. That was what I was thinking to myself. And so I prayed. I said, Lord, I've been reminded of missions now. So I need you to really tell me if I'm being emotional. Because many times we could also make emotional decisions and just like put God in it and say, just because it sounds good, we're like, okay, God said. And so I was very careful for that, because I didn't want to find myself doing something that I'm going to regret later. So this was at the beginning of 2022. And in April last year, God brought a friend into my life that has been part of my life for quite a long time, but we haven't seen each other for years. And she's part of this organization. So we had each other on WhatsApp, but we haven't been seeing each other. So we just had each other on WhatsApp, right? And in April last year, after doing the prayer, we started talking to each other more, calling more. And that's when I shared with her. I was like, listen, I feel like God has been speaking to me. And she's like, so what's stopping you? And I was quiet on the phone. I was like, what do you mean, what's stopping me? She says, if finances is the only thing that's stopping you of doing missions now, Nika, that's a lame excuse, because God is not limited by finances. Sure. And I was like, what? I was thinking it to myself and telling God while talking to her. I was like, God, your daughter, your precious daughter on the other side of the phone has too much faith for me. Because what is she saying? Like, I know you're not limited by finances, but I need to survive. Like, I'm just getting by with my salary as well. And I was like, okay, girl, I hear you. But like maybe 2 weeks after that, and I was praying, I was like, you know, this friend on the one hand is encouraging me. I see my situation. I am working, but also I support my parents financially. I buy groceries monthly mm-hmm. for them. I'm the last born because their finances wasn't also the greatest. So what's going to happen, God? This friend is saying this. You're saying this in your word. She's confirming this, but it doesn't look like it's a wise idea. Eventually, in April last year, I went to a church service where this friend was, and I took my parents with me. And I prayed and I said, God, if you want me to do this, please speak to my parents. And I need to get past my boss because my boss is not going to let me go, you know. Just knowing him, he's going to try to talk me out of it. Eventually, God, at that church service, that was the same month, April 2022. After the service, without me telling my parents anything, they met this friend and they were like, Nika, we see you here. It's like, we see you doing missions. I never even had to tell him anything, sure. Larice. They were like, we see this is what you should be doing. And we know that you are working, but we've seen over the years that this is what your heart wants. And this is what God has called you to do. And they told me, go for it. Like, sure. It's never too late. I was like, what? Are you serious? They were like, yes. Leaving that church service, and it wasn't the missions church. It was a normal church where my friend was, a different church. On our way back home, they were filled with so much of peace and so much of joy. Like, this is what God has called our daughter for. And they confirmed it. I was in awe. So, firstly, that was the first one. And then the next week, I go back to school, to my job. And I was going to speak to my principal this day. He had a very busy day, and I was like, I felt God was saying, go speak to him now. Mm. Everything happened like really fast from January to April. And this day I went to tell him, and I found myself in his office, and I told him, I said, so I am going to resign in June, because I'm going to go to this missions organization. And he smiled before I could carry on. He just smiled at me and he says, go for it. And I didn't expect that awesome. Answer. He told me, I've seen you over the 4 years and I've seen your heart, and you're not supposed to be like, this is not where God wants you. I never expected that answer from him. And so that was like, God was just showing me your parents. He gave the yes for my parents, and he gave the yes from my boss. And in August last year, 2022, I joined the REACH training at OM in Pretoria at the training base. It's a 4-month training. You stay on the campus in a multicultural community with people from all over the world. You have lectures, you have devotions in the morning, and you learn about why missions and what is missions. So that's what I did, and graduated in December last year. And so now I'm currently serving in Pretoria at the OM offices, and I'm part of staff.
Mm. That's so awesome. That's such an amazing testimony, just how God really moved like every obstacle, and yes. He sort of took away every excuse. Like, yeah, I could have had all these excuses, like, okay, but all of these things are standing in my way, God. Sorry, yes. You know.
And my God, I'm not 18 anymore.
Sure.
I should be responsible now. Like, isn't that when you are 18?
Sure. Mm. And even think about how if you went into OM when you were 18, you wouldn't have been prepared for the role that God actually has you in now at OM. Yeah. So could you tell us a bit about that part of your testimony, just how God even used the 4 years at the school to sort of prepare you?
Yeah, God is amazing. So at the school, I was initially, I went for an interview to work with the kids because I have a big heart for children. and then they needed somebody in the admin office, like just for 2 weeks. And eventually, after the 2 weeks, the principal asked me to stay long. He wanted me to stay. He said, no, please don't go back to the kids. We want you in the office. So not having a lot of skills in admin, I didn't know a lot about admin and answering calls, you know, speaking to parents and, yeah, just being that office lady. And I had somebody that was with me in the office, actually, and this lady trained me for the 4 years. So I would ask her, I don't know what I'm doing. Can you please show me? So that 4 years of training was really, looking back, it's like God really prepared me for what I'm doing now. So I'm not really an admin person, but God really made that admin office a time of enjoyment and a time of purpose and learning and growth and learning without feeling embarrassed about learning or feeling like, yeah, I'm not supposed to be in this position. But it was really just a great 4 years, I would say. And so when leaving the school to do missions, my mind was, I'm going to go after the 4 months of training, I'm going to go and do work with kids. Yes, I'm going to tell kids about Jesus. I'm going to go to countries where kids haven't heard about Jesus. They don't really understand who is Jesus and what Jesus done for them. And I'm going to be part and go and do this in countries where kids haven't heard. So just hold that thought, because I know that this is still what God wants me to do in the future. I'm still going to do it. But I'm currently actually serving as the PA of the National Director of OM South Africa. So I'm actually back in admin. And I think if I didn't have the 4 years experience that I had at the school, God couldn't have used me for this role that I'm currently serving in. And I just see God's hand, and I think I wouldn't have been able to do what I'm doing now.
It's so awesome to see how God puts us through a school of discipleship. You know, and sometimes we think God is all about spirituality.
Yeah.
So he's going to train you in like more theological stuff, or he's going to train you in more spiritual ministry stuff. But how God just saw, okay, one of the skills he wants to build into your life is admin. And so he just led you to the school. He was even working in the principal's heart to want to keep you in the office. And it's amazing how God is able to give us new skills that we don't naturally have. But I want to touch on two skills that you do naturally have. And you mentioned the one, well, the one is the desire to work with children, which is coming from your heart. And then the other thing is evangelism, the desire to really go out and share. So can you speak about how those two desires of wanting to work with children and wanting to share God's word came about in your life?
Wow, children. Let's start with the kids. I think when I gave my heart to God, so I grew up in a Christian home, but I really just made the decision to follow God wholeheartedly when I was 15. When I gave my heart to God, I always went back to how I felt when I was a child. So it's not just children, but also young people that I have a heart for, even though I am still a young person. So the desire to work with kids came from when I gave my heart to God. I was looking at the role models that I had when I was a child. How did people make me feel? Who invested time in me? Like, what things can I think about in my childhood that made me the woman I am today? You know, that Bible that my mom's friend's daughter gave me, they currently stay in Australia now, this children's Bible that I read with these pictures. And then I kept that Bible for a very long time. Like, what things did people invest in my life, you know, that makes me, I get emotional, that makes me the woman I am today. And that is just so beautiful. And so when I gave my heart to God, I just saw how precious children are to God, and how as much as God has a plan for our lives, the enemy also has a plan for our lives. And my mom always says this, like, the devil will try to get you from a young age because he wants to make you a messed up adult. But Jesus also sends people on your path. And he also like plants those seeds, you know. And so for me, it was like Jesus really loves children. The Bible says, do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to them, right? And so my love for kids, firstly, besides the planting the seeds, firstly, it is just their purity. And kids remind me of the love of the Father. They are innocent. They are like, when I feel, when I'm around kids, I'm reminded of how loved I am by God. So for me, it's just such a blessing to be part of that journey of their lives. They don't need to be related to me, but be part of planting a seed in a child's life and being kind to them, making them know that they matter, congratulating them, walking a journey with them, telling them about Jesus, because many times we can tell them, but we do not show it. We do not, you know, show kids, oh, this is how you need to behave, or this is how you need to love your friend. And so that's where the love came from. It's just amazing. And so, and in terms of evangelism, why I could say I actually love evangelizing, for me, it was, I grew up in a church, and for the first 15 years while being in the church, until I actually made the decision to follow God properly, people gave me a different view of Christ. And there's a scripture in Romans, it says, how will they know if we do not tell them? How will they know if no one preaches to them? And for me, it was, I grew up in this church environment, and you know, the whole religion or the whole religious acts in the church that we do many times, but I couldn't really see Jesus. I saw church and I heard about Jesus, but I didn't really see him. And the people many times in the church didn't really represent him well. That's it. And when I got saved, it made sense to me, like, wow, this is the gospel, because I never thought that I was worthy. Actually, growing up in church, it's crazy. Very nice people in the church, but I never thought that I was worthy. Yeah, like there was cliques in the church. There was, you know, this is just my experience and this is my testimony. And so I never really thought I was worthy, to be honest, because also sometimes getting rejected in the church as well. But when I really met with God, and obviously God has blessed me with good church family, not saying that the church is bad, but that was just my experience, you know, and God eventually blessed me with people that represented him in the way he wants to be represented. And when I experienced Jesus, I had this sense of belonging. I had this sense of love. I was like, oh, this is it. This is my identity. It's not based on, oh, I'm the, for instance, oh, I am one of the eldest daughters in the church. And now I, or, oh, my dad drives this car, or, oh, we stay in this neighborhood, so that's why I'm loved by God. Like, I was a 15-year-old girl that understood the beauty of what is my identity in Christ. It's not in the clothes that I wear, or the clique that I'm with at church, or my dad's a pastor, or it's not that, but my identity is in Christ, that he died for me, that he knows my name, that he even knew me before I was in my mother's womb, and he has knitted me together. And so when I got this revelation of Jesus, and I can have a relationship with him, and he loves me, how can I not tell others about it? So I was like, wow. I was like, how could I not? And I, as a 15-year-old, I had, I started making friends at school and then sharing with my friends. I wasn't very confident. I wasn't a shy person, but obviously we grow, right? So I wasn't as confident as I am now, but it's not about confidence as well. It's the work of the Spirit. But at that time I would make friends at school and then have like evangelized to my friends, you know, people that I know. I would tell them, I was like, let's pray together, tell them my testimony. And that's how it started. And as my high school years went on, I would do that. My friends would know. I would have friends that are unsaved, but they would just want to be with me. They would want to stay over at my house, but other days they would go, you know, they would be like, you know, they had different lives, but even though they knew I was dedicated to Jesus, they still wanted to be my friend. And it was, I believe that it wasn't because of me, but it was because of how Jesus allowed me to really be a friend to them. And hopefully one day they will come to Christ and be, you know. So that was my schooling career. And then that's why at the end when I was 18, I was like, I'd like to learn more of how I could evangelize to others. Just going on the street and speaking to people about Jesus. So my love for evangelism comes from my love from knowing Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's the most, that's the center. How can I not, how can I experience the love of the Father and the peace and just this, the security without sharing with other people? Mm-hmm. Like, how can I not?
Sure. I love that because it's not making evangelism like a formula. You know what I mean? Like, it's not making a religious act out of evangelism, because I think that's something we can get into, is we can start thinking I'm not evangelizing, you know, and then our identity can
It's not in that,
go into that as well, you know. But it's you're capturing the heart of it so perfectly that it's just this desire to share this awesome news that you heard for yourself, and but you can't keep it to yourself. It's so beautiful. And I also love the natural way that you share the gospel with people, that it's not this program that you're running, but it's more like just in daily conversation. So could you speak a bit more about that kind of engagement with sharing the gospel?
So with sharing the gospel, that what I do now, or what I do sometimes with the team when we do go out and share, or even when I'm by myself, it's basically getting to know the person. People are people, and people want to know that you care. And how can you tell them about a God that cares for them, but you, the way you're speaking to them, it shows them like you just want to throw your, because they see it as another religion, right? Remember, people do not always know that they can have a relationship with Jesus. They see Christianity as this religion. So whether they come from Hinduism or Islam, they want to know that you care about them. Firstly, they matter. And so I have conversations with people randomly and introducing myself and like, hi, how are you? What do you do? For instance, we go to this university and we, this is just an example. When we go to this university, we go up to the students and we tell them like, we're just visiting the university for the day, which is true. And we ask them, can we have a conversation? Can we like get to know you? You know, we're just visiting, and they are very open. I feel like this generation, as much as they are, they do, most of them do not know God. It's a very different, but they're very open. People are open if you are kind, and you know, so then we ask them, can we talk to you? And we start talking of what you study, what are you studying? You know, and we have basic conversations with them and introduce ourselves. I mean, like normal people do, and get to know them. And then we ask them like, oh, so what do you believe in? I mean, I think this is the one where it's like, it's just amazing, because then it's like, oh, somebody wants to ask me about my faith. Like, what, you know, what is my faith? Some of the people's like, I grew up in a Muslim household, but I do not practice it. Or some people will say, I'm Hindu and I choose this God. And we're like, oh, okay, so what does this God do for you, you know? And then I would be like, oh, can I tell you about my faith? Like, I tell them my testimony and how I got to know the love of Jesus and how it's not no longer religion. And when I do that, it's amazing. When I start to tell them, it's like the Holy Spirit comes. And it's amazing because God says in His Word that I will give you the words to speak when you go. And I sense the tangible presence of God every time I tell people my testimony. And you know what? I never knew this, but Muslim people, most of them that I encountered, because sometimes I'm just like, Lord, I really want to pray for this person. I'm like, if you don't mind, can I pray for you? And Muslims hardly reject prayer. And so I pray, and I pray in Jesus' name, and I say, Lord, thank you for this beautiful person. And I believe we exchange numbers many times. Many times the person would feel like, when I WhatsApp them, they either stay in contact, or they would, not stay in contact. Maybe they'll give me the wrong number. But the fact that they were very open at that time, and I could plant that seed, and I can still put them on my prayer list. So that's, yeah.
That's
really awesome. How I engage, yeah.
So I want to talk a bit about some of the discouragements that might face you in missions. One thing that often discourages me is that it seems that so few young people are actually in a relationship with the Lord. It seems like so few young people understand the gospel or, you know, even want to serve God. So is that a discouragement that you face as well, or how have you dealt with that?
So, yeah, I think a lot of people think that there's not a lot of people that, a lot of young people that are serving God. But I can tell you that there is a lot of young, as much as I believe in my heart when I pray, and the people that I speak to, and I see it, I see a lot of people serving God, young people serving God. God says in the last days, He'll pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And we live in a very dark time where people are following their own desires. They are lovers of themselves. They've left the truth. But at the same time, and at the same time where there's so much darkness happening, God is meeting with his children. God is setting people free, like even in this very moment that we're speaking. And this is something that it's people that I meet, but also it's something that I can it's something, it's like this assurance or this conviction that I have in my spirit whenever I pray for young people. And I believe that the Father is really awakening people. There's a lot of young people in the world serving Jesus, letting go of the worldly standards, but following God's standard and the Word of God. And you know, the enemy sometimes wants us to feel like that, or wants to say, oh, the world, no one's serving God. But I do believe that there is a lot. So I do not get discouraged, because I hear testimonies every day. And yeah, I see a lot of young people. I mean, I'm from Pretoria, and it's amazing. I see a lot of young people. There's like school ministries, and really, I don't know how to explain it, but God is really doing a lot. And just the friends that I'm starting to meet all of a sudden. I've been in Pretoria for like 9 years, and I'm starting to meet people that are my age or 21, 19. I have younger friends as well. And just their love from God, and it can just be God. I can see that it's not religion, it's not a church thing, but young people are having relationship with God. So that's not a discouragement for me, but as well, I believe that there's still a lot of young people that needs to come to God, you know, that needs to know. And I think as us, you know, we are young people, we also need to shine our light. We can't be hidden under a lamp. We need to shine a light. We need to tell others. We need to love and share with others and welcome people in our lives, not be secluded, because we have so much to give to those that are lukewarm or those that are in the world. Yeah.
Your testimony and just speaking to you is like very encouraging. It's so awesome to hear what God has been doing in your life. And I mean, like from 15, that this has been something that He has been working in your heart up until now. Would you mind giving us your age?
Okay. Next month I'll be 27, so I am 26 now. Yeah.
Sure.
My 27th year. Yeah.
So you're still such very a young, young person.
Yeah.
And the Lord is doing so much in your
yeah.
life. I want to ask you about the development in your relationship with God. Like, do you see any growth from the initial, you know, realization of his love for you? How have you grown in your relationship with God? And, mm. and what are some of the things that have built into that relationship?
Mm. Yes, I definitely have seen a lot of growth. I would say that in my early 20s, I was really seeking God. And I really understood the love of God for me and the compassion. Remember I said I gave my heart to God when I was 15. And obviously, 15, I had a lot of mentors, amazing parents walking this journey with me, with God. God brings people in your life as well. Discipleship and stuff like that. And in my early 20s, really just seeking God. So when I was 18, I kind of felt like, you know, I'm very close to God. From 15, you know, I know him. I know his voice. You know, I'm walking very closely with God. I'm in his love. I know my identity, right? And it's funny because when I was 18, I'm like, okay, God, we know each other really well now. So I have this plan for my life. It's godly, right, Lord? So I'm going to give it to you and you will make it happen because you are God. And because you love me and because I know you this long and because it's the righteous things, God, it's beautiful things, you will do it, you know? And so I don't doubt you about it. I have faith. And by 23, I want this. By 22, I want this. And I give God that. Okay, so I'm still seeking God in my early 20s. And eventually the age comes when I when I get to the ages that I told God the things that I would want. And I do not get what I want, mm-hmm. what I asked him. And so I don't realize that I'm disappointed. So I still go on as if nothing's wrong. But God knows, you know, deep down he knows. So for about 4 years or 5 years, I would say I was in this place of, I love God. I love his presence, but he didn't give me what I asked him. And, but I didn't know, I think only until recently that I was actually sad about the things that he didn't give me. And so from being this girl in her early 20s, having this identity, like I'm loved by God. His love for me is not based on my circumstances. Yes, in some areas. So from being that girl, right, the early 20s, to getting to the ages where I thought I'm going to get the things that I asked him, but he didn't give it. It kind of really slowly but surely, I measured his love for me in that way. So there was moments where the enemy would remind me. So I would have joy. I would have the joy of the Lord. But the enemy would remind me, oh, but you don't have that. Oh, but look at that. And then I would feel very sad. And I would just be like, oh, it's okay. Put it on the carpet. Carry on. Oh, it's okay. The next year, put it on the carpet. Carry on. Without me knowing that I didn't deal with that. And I didn't really tell God, like, God, I'm sorry for expecting that from you because maybe that's not your will. I asked you for my will, but I didn't say, Lord, your will be done. I gave you the whole map, the whole, you know, outline of what I want my life to be like. So for 2 years or just before I joined the missions, I would say, joined the missions organization, I was very sad and I was grieving things that I thought God should have given me, but he didn't give me. And then without me realizing, and I never thought it would happen, I started basing God's love for me on what I didn't get. And when I joined the missions, this was last year, when I joined, they had this night where they did this washing of the feet. And my coach on that night washed my feet and just, you know, the story of Jesus that washed the disciples' feet. And I just, they washed our feet just as we started to join the Reach program. And in that moment, I was crying and crying and crying because I was experiencing God's presence so strong while this girl was washing my feet. But also just like going through all the thoughts of like Jesus coming down, like him dying. That was his way of washing our feet. You know, the your feet is a weird place. You don't want people to touch your feet.
Yeah, the dirtiest place.
Yeah, the dirtiest place. And Jesus actually came to wash our feet by coming to earth, leaving heaven, and die for us. And in that moment, I just experienced God's love so strong again. And God revealed to me like that I thought that he didn't love me anymore because of what he gave. Like, I still loved him and I knew that he was good, but I just thought maybe like he didn't. Like, I couldn't believe that I believed this lie about God's love. And so the enemy literally turned it around and made me believe this lie without me even knowing that I was believing this lie. And I felt like an orphan, like someone that didn't have that place by the Father that I used to have, you know? And I thought that only when I get those things, I'm going to feel loved. I'm going to feel, you know, and so the Lord had to speak to me and tell me, but I do love you. I literally heard him tell me that night, but I do love you. And I was just weeping. I was like, and so that was the turning point. I mean, that was last year, very, very soon. It was where God was, I was experiencing a place of, not feeling loved by God or not feeling that identity, and to a place of God just pouring out his love. And it took me a while. I must say, it took me the 4 months and still a little bit of this year. I'm still actually at this moment where I'm asking him to help me to unlearn the things that I've been believing, the lies, and to receive his love. And it's like a daily journey that the Lord is helping me to receive his love. And I started seeing that as much as God has a plan for me and he wants to use me and he wants to send me out, he is a God of compassion, and he has compassion on the individual. As much as John 3 verse 16 says, for God so loved the world, but that he sent his only begotten son, for God so loved Nika, for God so loved Larice, he's a personal God.
Yeah.
And so I think the love of God is something that has really just helped me to, the enemy always tries to take us away, you know, try to make us do things more, try to serve more in church, try to do all these things, but only God could fill us up, you know, and only the Father's love could come in. And I think that's something that I don't ever want to lose. I don't ever want to go around, because then I'm doing it all in vain without the love of God. The love of God is the center of the whole Christian life, for God so loved the world, you know? So that's a turning point that happened in my life.
It's so interesting how the oldest lie in the enemy's arsenal is still the one that works the best. And what I have really been seeing in my own personal life, and even as I read through scripture, specifically I've been reading in Genesis, that the enemy gets, I mean, starting with Eve, he gets her to doubt God's goodness by suggesting that God is keeping something away from her that would actually have been good for her if he gave it. You know, so he asks, like, you're not allowed to eat from the trees. You know, he's suggesting that God is not good. And then immediately he moves to, like, no, this thing won't kill you. I mean, this is going to give you life. Like, this is going to make you like God, and it's going to give you something you don't have now.
Like, it's a good thing. Why wouldn't God want to give it to you? Like, that's the question he would ask you.
And then you start thinking, this thing is good for me and I don't have it. That must mean that God is keeping a good thing away from me. Meantime, the thing that God is keeping away from you, he's doing so to protect you. It's not like he's withholding something from you. He's keeping it away from you because it's going to be for your disaster. Mm. It's going to, the enemy knows he's going to be able to use that thing to destroy your walk with God. And so God's not willing to let that happen. And it's quite interesting if you literally have a look at, like, most of the ladies in Genesis go for that lie.
Mm.
I'm thinking of Sarah, who God told her, like, she actually told Abraham, God has kept me from getting pregnant. She acknowledged that God is the one who opens the womb. Mm. He's the one who closes the womb. Yeah. So she knew that the reason she wasn't getting pregnant was because of God.
Mm.
And then she said, okay, so here's my maidservant. Maybe through her, so she came up with a scheme to get what she thought was going to be good for her. And look at the consequences. Mm. And another example for me is Potiphar's wife, thinking that Joseph is a good thing, you know, and if she had him, it would be good for her, and going for that. And it's so crazy how those two lies, like, God is not good because this thing is good for you, and he's keeping it away from you. It's crazy how he keeps using those lies to distract us. And really, he wants to tarnish the character of God in our eyes.
So true. And I think as you are speaking now, it's just, in those moments, God has given us the authority, and we could actually say it out loud or remind ourselves, you know, of God's truth. And when we do that, the Bible says, resist the enemy and he will flee.
Mm-hmm.
And we have God's word. We have the authority over those lies.
Mm. Well, I hope that you were encouraged and equipped by our conversation today. Thank you so much for joining Nika September and myself for Woman Today. For more good news, you can head on over to our website, gncr.org.za, and I am available as Larice Farid on either Facebook or Instagram. So please feel free to reach out to me on either of those platforms, and I will see you again. Thanks for your time. Bye.